Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from an undisclosed location in the universe. Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm Iggy Garcia.
David Tucros.
Join us
on a metaphysical,
holistic,
and intuitive journey.
The call in number is 646-595-3440.
So sit back, relax,
and enjoy the ride.
Snuck up on me. That's two crazy wild guys here.
Hey,
how you doing?
Universe,
hey.
What's up?
Hey, the lion came back again. She's going to bite us tonight, huh? My name's Luigi, and I'm here with Mario.
I'm Mario. We're from an undisclosed location in
in the mushroom kingdom. We're in the mushroom kingdom. Hey, Mario, what's up, man? How are you today?
Hey, I'm good. I was out in the field and pick a mushroom.
Yeah, that's what you say, you know. I got my greens and suit on here. Well, I'm Iggy Garcia.
And I'm David Tucros.
And we're live and we're broadcasting from an undisclosed location, like David said.
Mm-hmm.
We'll at least give you a hint. We're in Columbus, Ohio. The vast city.
I think our this location got disclosed. So, I would expect a drone strike at any moment.
Oh, yes. If you hear that, good.
So while we're here, we'll just we'll go do the show tonight. I think Adriana may be on later, but she may not. She's
mm-hmm.
Got some things that she's her personal life is
mm-hmm.
dealing with. So.
And David and I are going to cover ourselves in coconut oil.
Mm-hmm. Because it's good for you.
That's so we can be refined and cold pressed.
I haven't been cold pressed in a long time.
It's good for the skin.
It is. It is. So.
Well, we want to welcome everybody to the show. This is episode, I think this is episode, 899 or something like that?
Close to that,
close to that,
yeah.
Over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to thank you for tuning in and being with us live. Most mm-hmm. of our shows are live.
Right.
We have some cool shows coming up tomorrow. We have...
Here Be Dragons.
Here Be Dragons with Brian Wilkes. Mm-hmm. That's a new show that's going to be running at 9 a.m.
Brian's a very erudite and... verbose person who is quite knowledgeable and mm-hmm. should be a very interesting show.
Yep, and then Wednesday, I believe, we have a Spontaneous Spirit Talk Radio. And then Thursday, I think there's a Naked Shaman episode. And then I believe there's a Mutta at Midnight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we're back on the docket again. And then on the 27th, we have Gary Herring, Siege. He'll have his Looking Through the Crystal Ball.
Right.
His show will be back on. Mm-hmm. We're usually on the end of the month. So that's a really cool show if you really like to get a crystal ball reading.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of fun. That's on the 27th at 7 p.m., so mark your calendars on that.
Right.
We have some updates here. We actually have our website up and running now with insightsradio.com. You can actually see all the hosts that, you know, in their websites where how you can find them and all the contributors to our articles.
Right. We have some blog posts. Mm-hmm. And just some writings and some explanations of who we are and mm-hmm. What we do. And it's an expansion of our, I guess you could call it our franchise, I guess, now. But, you know, it's just get to know us a little better.
Absolutely. And then on April 4th, I believe, we're going to be at Mystic Sisters. And we're going to be interviewing Megan McAnally. She's going to be talking about her store and different things that she offers. And then we're actually... which is really cool. We get to speak to just about everybody who works there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 5+ practitioners who work out of the store.
That'll be great. That'll be like our first on-site live mm-hmm. show, so that'll be
yep.
an experience.
It's been a while since we've done that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last I did that was 2 or 3 years ago.
I don't know if I was with you at that point.
Yeah, that was over by Garcia's next door. It was Jody Sandoval's place.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wasn't with you, but I do recall mm-hmm. the place, yeah.
Really beautiful. And I believe we did one at Mystic Nirvana years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we're getting back on the path. People are asked to get out there and share. So I'm pretty excited about that. With Insights, it's just trying to be a place where you can come and, you know, read up, you know, follow up, learn,
get
teach,
connected with
connect.
Mm-hmm. different people who might be able to you know, offer you something or, yeah, just a hub as you.
That's correct, a hub. You can find David's book there,
mm-hmm.
you know. Where the Crow Flies. And what's the name of your book?
Oh, I have a book of short stories called Kaleidoscope.
Kaleidoscope, that's right.
Yep, and there will be another As the Crow Flies coming out mm-hmm. soon. I'm actually working on putting that together. So lots of good stuff coming up, happening. You know, I feel like it's kind of third or fourth stage has launched of our rocket ship. So we are, we're going into new territory and kind of stepping it up a little bit, which is good. We'd like to challenge ourselves once in a while and step out. So
very good.
Yeah, and this past weekend, we had our first Nemanja Church service.
Yeah, pretty sweet.
At the Christian Spiritualist Temple downtown here in Columbus, in the back room. We gathered together in a little circle and opened our bundles and talked about just whatever was on our mind and about what the Nemanja were and what that kind of spirituality means to us. So it was good. A small group attended, and it was very very powerful. First of many, that I hope.
Yeah, Nemanja Radio will be on once a month with Jonathan Landis, elected principal and medicine chief of that particular church and that organization. So I'm pretty excited about that.
It's going to be an extension of our show. Like, we're going to have one show dedicated to him.
One show dedicated to them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, when you grow, that's kind of what happens. You open up all the possibilities. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Right.
And, we'll be doing the interview with him, but it'll be our show kind of anchoring their show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exciting. It's exciting times. We have cool things happening. The Get the Light Expo was this weekend. Those of you who couldn't make it, I hope you had a great time. I personally couldn't go. Wasn't feeling too good. Mm-hmm. I'm doing much better now.
Mm-hmm.
Just had a little, lung infection. But turns out my x-rays were good. There's no cancer. There was no TB, no nothing like that. So that's a relief for me. I was really happy about that.
Yeah, that's always good to hear.
I just need a good lung cleanse.
All right.
Basically what it boils down to. There was some concern that maybe there was mold in my lungs from just being in the damp areas or working with my flutes as well.
Right.
Sometimes if you don't get them right, there's spores inside of the flute chambers that stick in there, and then you just kind of suck them in and out and you stay sick. There's people who play saxophones for 15 to 30 years, and they never get this cough.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they don't clean their instrument properly. And so you learn these things as you're exploring and rediscovering, how to take care of your body.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's just the body doing its thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, plus our weather, too, hasn't been helpful because it's been so warm and so wet and lots of rain and allowed the molds to really come out early and take hold. So anyone who's allergic to that is really suffering, too. So
absolutely.
But, so we did that this weekend, and then we had the time change on Saturday night. It's always kind of different.
So you think we need that anymore?
Personally?
Well, since World War II, we've been doing that.
I don't know. It was supposed to help the farmers, I think, I don't know. It's
Not the farmers get up early anyhow.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
I think it's supposed to help the people who are supposed to get to work on time.
Yeah.
Get up!
Mm-hmm.
But it's 6 o'clock. No, it's 7. We jumped forward.
I sometimes wonder why we do the things we do. I think just because we can,
It might have been
tell you it's 7 o'clock instead of 6 o'clock.
It could have been something that during the war, World War II, they were trying to conserve energy.
Yeah.
So we make the day longer and people would be out more. I don't know. We don't turn our lights so soon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know the logic behind it. Somebody, I'm sure, has in our group of people that we know, probably has the answer to that.
Yeah. Please explain it to me because I really don't see the need for it. In fact, if I was going to be president, that would be one of the things that would be on my agenda is let's just end daylight savings time. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Like Native American says, it's like cutting the bottom of the blanket off and then sewing it to the top.
I think you can get a longer blanket or something. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Oh, well, all right. It probably makes no difference here or there, but that's just how it just seems like an inconvenience twice a year. But
that's right.
Anyway, that's all right. Get through that. And then you asked me how I was feeling today, and I had...
Hey, how are you feeling today, David?
Oh, thank you. I was feeling a little different. I woke up this morning. I'm not sure if it was out of a dream that I was having or whatever, but I just had this feeling like I had one foot in this world and one foot in another world. Mm-hmm. I wasn't quite here like I used to be. Matter of fact, I'll read a little post I made on Facebook about that, if you don't mind.
Very good.
It starts out with a quote from a movie called Solaris. So... the last two lines of the movie, or the last lines of the movie are character Chris Kelvin, he says, "Am I alive or dead?" And Rhea Kelvin says, "We don't have to think like that anymore. We're together now. Everything we've done is forgiven. Everything." and that always that touches me because it puts me in a mindset like we're beyond life and death. You know, it's a we don't have to think like that anymore. But the rest of my post is the quote above came to mind today because since awakening in the morning, I have felt as though I have one foot in this world and one foot in another. It's almost like watching from a distance as I pass through the day, seeing others so involved in things and so ingrained in their lives that they considered it all so real and thereby make it so. Not to say that nothing matters, far from it. What matters is what we give our attention to. And in this human form, we have turned our focus from the macrocosm to the microcosm of a single point of consciousness. This world, this level of reality, is one of agendas, of competition, of moving through the experience of linear time with birth and death as the opening and closing of a doorway to eternity. On rare occasions here, we can sense the oneness of life that exists beyond the illusion of separation. On days like today, when I find my awareness rising above the immediate input of my senses and the narration of my mind, and see my life from a slightly expanded point of view, it becomes clearer to me that plans, hopes, dreams, competition, grudges, revenge, perceptions of good and evil in ourselves and others, all these things are made from the consequence of being human, a state which is not our natural or permanent one. So be at peace in what seems like turmoil. Be comforted when in the midst of sadness. Be free when all others are in bondage to their own fear. In this way, you will be living from your true self.
Nice.
So that's kind of the feeling I was having today. And just one of my thoughts was, it's not like I want to die or to leave this world, but I'd be okay with that, mm-hmm. Except for I've got my little dog I want to take care of. I've kind of made a contract with him of I'm going to see him through till the end of his life, And of course, I've got children and grandchildren, that are important to me. But I know they'd go on without me, I'm not going to cling to life like I can't let go because there's so much I have to do. And I'm okay. I'm okay either way. I'm okay if I live another 50 years, and I'm okay if it ends 10 years from now, Because I know that this is not all of it. This is just where I am now in this life, this body, this experience that I'm moving through. And as my post said, it's just a small part of the totality of the experience of life and eternity. So There you go.
I like that. You and I have had conversations like this in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of had my my qualms about, leaving legacies behind and stuff. And, if we're going to be remembered for the things we do. And now, as you progress, you're kind of going, that doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter, does it? If you leave a legacy behind or not, you affect people regardless.
Right.
Into your life.
It's not the focus of why you're here,
Right.
You're just here to do what you need to do in the moment or what you have contracted or agreed to do as your mission statement here, if you have. Other than that, the legacy will take care of itself.
Yeah, so I was thinking about that as I was working on my stuff today, and I looked through all the things that I've done. Facebook has a way of reminding you.
Three years ago.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, I did that 3 years ago. And I'm going, or 5 years ago? I've kind of been on since the inception of Facebook when it was kind of nothing. And
yeah.
But it's really interesting because then you see how you've affected other people's lives. I made up a smudge prayer. Remember the smudge prayer that I made?
Yes.
And that thing has just taken off. It's just like so many people posted it today.
Take
the smoke into your eyes. Mm-hmm. So you can see all the beautiful things, and the smoke into your mouth, so you might speak all the beautiful things. So that was something that was very personal to me and never really thought that, it was going to become so something that somebody would resonate with.
Mm-hmm. And kind of spread out.
Yeah, and so I'm looking on it, and it had like, a gajillion shares, but it had a significant amount of shares.
Yeah.
It was starting to be shared. People I didn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
People took it from their friends and their friends took it from their friends. So there's a good group of people who've shared it today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So when you think about that, you know, it won't matter where it came from or how it started, but the message about, you know, the smudge prayer is just valuable.
It's going to be one of those things mm-hmm. that's how we've always done it.
Kind yeah. Of, you know? So, you know, when you talk about legacies and stuff, that's kind of what I saw. And then I also was looking at the Kobacker house, their pictures where they, you know, when you, Facebook does all kinds of weird stuff. You can push pictures. There's mm-hmm. a thing where you can look at the pictures and it has everything of Kobacker that's happened there. People gardening and planting. And then there are our pictures mm-hmm. of us drumming. And I'm thinking, wow, that's pretty cool. So those are things that will always be remembered. People are going to go, who are those guys? You know?
Yeah.
And yeah. there'll be a few people who remember our story.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that pretty interesting. It's funny what you wrote. And then yesterday, this is what I wrote, which is kind of, they're kind of the same, but they're different at the same
yeah,
time.
Just
you know,
like us.
They have their own, you know, twists and turns. I said, every day we are presented with presents from the universe. A lot of times they come in forms of people, animals, events, etc. These gifts come in strange wrapping paper. Sometimes we open the gifts and it's awesome, and some days it's very questionable why. It's a challenge. Regardless of it, it's a present from spirit. The universe says yes to everything you ask for, and sometimes don't ask for.
Yes, very true.
And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, everything's a present, like a gift,
mm-hmm.
you know. And the word present is also like
the now.
The now.
Yeah.
And something, wow, that's powerful for you, that the universe gives you exactly what you ask for.
Mm-hmm. So you really need to learn how to ask or how to present yourself to the universe. You know, if you,
mm-hmm.
oh, I'm having a terrible day. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
You're having a terrible day.
Yeah. And the universe says, yes.
Yes, yes, you are. Yes.
I'm beautiful. Yes.
Yes.
I'm ugly. Yes.
Right.
And that's how the universe is. It's a loving and caring and giving thing.
Right.
You know, it's not materialistic like we are.
Right.
It's you know, it's not conditional. It's not judging. Yeah. It honors and respects, you know, the things that you put out to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a vast, always evolving place, you know. And just think of all the parallel universes you create with your word. You know, they've just discovered that there is a universe that's butted right up next to us.
Mm-hmm.
A real parallel universe.
Wow.
And something.
Was that to the super collector?
I don't know how they do it,
yeah.
but they tested some kind of frequencies and it has the same almost kind of vibration as ours.
Mm-hmm.
So parallels, I guess, you don't necessarily see them, but they do kind of like reside side by side.
Hmm.
Which would make sense if you think about it. If you write stories and you change a story, if you wrote the same story and then you just change a few things, it would just be a parallel.
Right.
You know, that
slight
story.
Differences, you know, but every little twist and turn that you take or don't take creates another alternate storyline.
Do you remember that the books that they used to write when we were young? I forget the name of the book.
Yeah, like Choose Your Own Adventure.
You change the end. You can choose any ending you wanted.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like they give you like three or four different ideas. I love that. You know, it's like because sometimes you're not satisfied with the way the story ended.
Right.
And then you get to choose this other.
But page 34.
Yeah,
okay, 34. I'm gonna go to page 81 this time.
Yeah, yeah. I love.
Oh, look, I'm dead. Ah.
But you know what's cool? Our lives are like that.
Mm-hmm.
We have the opportunity to change and alter and experience life in such a magical way if we're just open to receiving that.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us, we just get so stuck in our stories.
Yeah.
You know, we get stuck in, you know, what was versus, you know, where I'm at now, being in the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because what was, you know, but it's not. It's
only,
really done.
Yeah. It only exists in your mind as you carry it forward.
You know,
even if
you had, you know, I can speak for myself, even if you have a traumatic moment in your life, it's really done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you play it out over and over and over and over and over and over, well, you know, that's your choice.
Right.
You know, and if you have to heal from it, I get that. I understand that. But don't let it become so ingrained in you that, you know, that's all that consumes you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I can only speak for me. You know, I had to go through the process. Yeah, it's a process to heal. It's a process to move forward into space that puts you, you know, in a right frame of mind. But I think everybody can move quicker if they truly wanted to. For example, and I don't know if you agree with me or not. Usually we agree on each other's,
yeah.
you know, topics. You know, it's very rare that we disagree. But I really believe the things that we see right now, what's going on politically with Donald Trump and all the candidates, you know, when we see more crap, It's because we're living that crap. You know, every time we post a picture of Donald Trump look like a pig with a penis on it, well, we're going to get more Donald Trump's ass.
Bad,
you know?
Energy. Yeah.
We're going to receive more energy. If we keep saying, oh, Donald Trump's a bad guy, you know, we're going to get more bad Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying Donald Trump's a good guy. I'm not questioning that. But what I'm questioning is when we post all these things to you know, change people's minds and opinions about things, we're actually empowering. Yeah, we're empowering him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that philosophy and that belief, you know, indirectly, not even thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we think we're changing the energy by saying, oh, yeah, Donald Trump's bad. So the universe goes, yeah, Donald Trump's bad. Yes, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why can't we say Donald Trump's a human being? And he's, you know, he's a human being. And the universe says, yeah, you're right.
He's not important. It's not what's really mattering.
So what if we took that same energy and said Bernie Sanders is rocks? You know, he's a great guy. You know, he protested. Instead of focusing so much on Donald Trump, focus on the candidates that you like versus the things you dislike about candidates. I mean, I'm guilty of it, too. I post things here and there. But I do it more as a joke, to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's one where Hillary looks like Donald Trump mixed together. It's kind of funny. But, you know, I do that just to, you know, get a little razz.
Yeah.
But the thing is,
you get
what you project out. So if you project that there's racism and there's hate, you're going to get more of that. There is racism and hate. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to push it more and manifest it more out every time you encourage it.
People would say, well, I'm just trying to raise awareness. You know, well, we're already aware of that.
Yeah, but if you're going to raise awareness, how would you raise awareness if you didn't want racism to occur?
I would, I don't know. I guess that first of all, I'd try to say that what it looks like, but also that it's not true, that really that we're all one human race, and that it's wrong to do that, but here's what's right. Mm-hmm. You know, it's right that people of different colors and different backgrounds get together and protect one another from that, or, you know, work together on expanding freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is how you look at it and how you present it.
And how you present it. So it really, it's something that happened a long time ago. You know, when I think about how the human race has developed, you know, in a whole, the reasons we have the issues we have started way back, even before, you know, you and I were even thought about in thousands of years. I'm talking about thousands and thousands of years ago when one group of people was dominant over another group of people. You know, so the story is, well, they're stronger than us, so we have to submit.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, they have more armament than us, and they're going to just wipe us off the planet of the Earth. And some people did happen to some people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So these stories continue. You know, that the strong are strong and the weak are weak. So we start to buy into those stories. So when we buy into those stories that, you know, that we're weak, then we become weak. We become sheep. We become disempowered. I'm sorry.
Yes.
You know, but the ones who become strong feed us that line. We're strong and you need us.
Mm-hmm.
We're the Roman Empire.
Right.
And gosh darn it, you know what? We're going to conquer you.
Right.
And eventually.
No, well, some of you come into our society and a part of it, but, you know, really we're the better ones that are, you know.
So you do have this thing that is created. And see, there are people who just know how to create those stories and make them more powerful than your story. So when you have a dominant force, they create a more dominant story. And that story is that the Roman Empire was strong. The Byzantine Empire, you know, and all these other empires, you know, Marco Polo visiting, you know, the India. And then you have, you know, all the other great conquerors of the world, because they instilled belief in them, wrote them a story that they were the kings. They were gods, and they believed it until one day they bled. And they're like, oh, my God, what happened? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not supposed to die. But it's a story. It's a story that carries on.
Right.
You know, Alexander the Great, you know, is a good example. He was very powerful. He conquered a lot of people, but he wanted to unify the world. But the only way you're going to unify the world is by conquering people. But that's not really unification, you know, but it's a story. His story was, I have to unify these worlds, these lands and these people and own it all.
Right.
Eventually the story gets old.
Mm-hmm.
The story gets old. The people who were oppressed go, well, you know, I don't like your story. And, you know, I really don't want to be under your rule.
Mm-hmm.
The French are notorious for revolutions.
Yeah.
Because they get tired of stuff.
Right. But the same thing happens over and over again, and another group comes in and, yeah, you know, it becomes their story for a while, and then, you know, they become the oppressors, and, you know, they get overthrown, and it happens again and again. I think it's because we're always trying to create that top-down kind of, you know, we got a leader at the top, and the rest of us are all, you know, followers. We've got our ranks and our, you know, regions of authority. And
the rank and file.
Yep. And to this day, you know, we're having our Super Tuesday tomorrow, so, of course, politics is really on the mind of a lot of people here in Central Ohio and elsewhere as we try to pick and choose from the different leaders. Mm-hmm. But I just kind of had to remind myself that, you know, no matter what, the president is just one part of our government, you know, and they are not the be-all, end-all. If Donald Trump becomes elected, he's going to have a hard time getting anything through Congress and Senate without compromise. You know, there's going to be Republicans there who are belligerent against him because he split the party, and, you know, he's not a rank-and-file member. And then if Bernie Sanders gets in, there's going to be people who are, you know, don't like his politics. Mm-hmm. And they're going to – so it's – you know, we seem to think like, you know, it's going to be, you know – just either the ending of America or whatever, whenever the wrong person gets in office. But it has a way of balancing out. And, you know, I've written a couple of things about that too, about how it really the whole thing is we're still looking for that salvation from a leader somewhere up above us instead of within us. You know, we invest our power in people outside of ourselves, and then we wonder why we feel so powerless.
Right.
You know, we put all these expectations on leaders, and when they reveal that they're just human beings and self-interested just like us and going to do what's best for themselves in the long run, then we get disappointed. And you know, eventually revolutions happen, and we overthrow governments, and then new people step in with promises, and everything's okay for a while until they become corrupt. And it's the same self-perpetuating story that goes on and on. So I don't know. I think it's important to get out and vote, and I'm certainly going to do that tomorrow.
Absolutely.
You know, and I encourage anyone else who cares about keeping things going in this country to do the same. But at the same time, my expectations are that it's going to be an election where, you know, the person's going to get in office, and then they're going to have to compromise and work with other people, and, you know, we'll all end up hating them at the end of 4 years anyway.
Or eight.
Or a lot of us, you know, I don't know. It's hard for me to remember back to where we've had a president that really was different from that. Maybe I wasn't that old, but I was there. I was alive whenever Kennedy was assassinated.
And yes, I wasn't.
He was one of the last ones to really have not be under the control of other forces in our government, you know. So, well, I think whenever you get into the Oval Office, they sit you down, you go, okay, now here's the way it really is.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't want to be cynical or anything. Like I say, I'm going to vote tomorrow, and I'm going to keep hope alive and all that. But, you know, it is what it is, and it's not perfect, and it's not the ultimate source of our government, because I believe that that's us. And hopefully there will come a day when we all can be self-empowered individuals. So,
you know, one of my favorite presidents, even though I sound kind of weird, was Ronald Reagan. You know, it's just something about him that just I like. Mm-hmm. You know, I may not be, not because I was Republican or anything. It's just there was something about his attitude. And his wife was really into astrology. So I was kind of like, oh, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah, I think he had at least the ability to speak to the common man and woman, you know.
I could hear his voice, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I could hear Carter kind of like that a little bit, not so much as, but Reagan, there was some charismatic properties that he had that, you know, I just related to. But any other present time, I can't really, you know, not even Obama, you know, I just don't relate. George Bush, don't relate, you know. I just don't understand. I hope is that when people are tired and sick and tired of being sick and tired, that, you know, they would probably just say, hey, you know, we're not gonna go to work today. You know, I'm not gonna buy gas today.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, if you want to shut off my gas, fine. Well, I'll just run up on that pole line and just, you know, hook up a cable like they do in third world countries. You know,
right,
because all stuff, you know, it's just stuff, and we all buy into it. But when will America, or the first, you know, first world nations, if you want to call them, you know, not third world nations, when is the first world nations going to finally say, hey, you know what, I had enough. You know, billionaires could have bailed themselves out, but why didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that really pissed me off, man.
That's right.
You know, Ford industry should have just went down the tube like everybody else closed. You know, when I closed, no one cared.
Right.
You know, I'm just a statistic in the book, you know.
We've got corporate socialism here because we bail out our corporations.
Well, I want to bring on a friend.
Okay.
He has a show here on with Insights Radio, and hopefully he can give us a little insight where his mind is about the process and the things that are happening in the world. He's been listening to what we've been talking about. So let's bring him on and welcome him to the show. Hello, sir.
Hi there. How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Well, this is C. And in my laundry room and listening to your conversation, and I'm folding shirts right at the moment.
A working man.
Yeah. So that's pretty much my political rap for this evening.
Just, folding shirts.
Just fold your shirts, man.
Let everyone else take care of themselves, you know.
That's
I don't know.
Right.
No. So, first of all, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm good.
Awesome.
I'm going into a lot of things. I took a little short little trip for a couple of weeks down to Florida to see my mom, and came back with a nice new van that I'm driving now. So
nice.
I'm looking forward to the future and having a lot of fun this summer.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a year where we try some new things, you know, maybe try some new partnerships, team up with some different folks for different mm-hmm. things. And I'm really excited. You know, 2015 really was a challenge. I mean, there was a lot of tough stuff to wade through. And I think that as 2016 unfolds, we're going to be coming out of that stronger, more focused, and ready to take it all to the next level, those mm-hmm. of us who are wanting to go there.
Right. The thing that you should always remember, too, about this year, we're in the year of the monkey. And as you can see in the political arena right now, there's a lot of antics going on.
Monkey business.
Monkey business. And the way of the monkey is, while you're watching all his antics, he turns and bites you.
Yes,
so
I saw.
Because it ain't over till the fat lady sings.
Right, exactly. and she's in. Warming up in the wings, but not on stage yet. So
I'm not
so
fat ladies can sing.
Yeah. I saw a show on one of these documentaries about, and part of it was about how we deal with animals in the city, you know, mm-hmm. nature in the city. And over in India, there is a place where there are monkeys they're part of a temple and they're sacred. You can't kick them. You can't beat them. You can't do anything to them, you know.
Absolutely.
But they will gang up and steal stuff from carts, you know, of these vendors, mm-hmm. and they just wreck their carts, and they just go, well, what can I do? That's our God, you know. Our God tells them to go out and eat food, and what can we do, you know? So they just have to kind of go with it. But, yeah, monkeys can be really smart, deceitful,
mm-hmm.
and...
I'd slap that monkey.
Very powerful. Slap that monkey! But, yeah, so...
This conversation's going.
Hey!
We'll try to swerve it out of there, but I don't know. We may end up with the Lollipop Guild on our... being played here soon, but
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, you know, so we are seeing some real things. I mean, especially the TV airwaves are full of commercials from this candidate and that candidate, and they're all calling, you know, a lot of them are calling each other's names, and you know, we're pointing out the bad things, and when it comes down to it, you know, I really haven't heard a lot from many people about what they're going to do or try to do whenever they get in office, because realistically they're going to have to compromise. They're going to have to.
Because they can't do anything, man.
Yeah.
they give them a couple little things, you know.
Yeah.
Deadlocked all the time just isn't working. Mm-hmm. How long can you do this charade of deadlocking the government year in mm-hmm. and year out? You know, administration after administration. Now we've gone through several now, and it's like this is not working. You know, our bridges are falling apart, our kids aren't getting educated right, on and on and on. Man, it's like, how long are we going to put up with this until this, you know, we fight back on the 1%?
Mm.
Yeah, you know, we're trying to keep this broken machine running, and we're putting billions and trillions of dollars into it, when really we should be just dismantling the whole thing and starting over again and building it right, you know, from the ground up.
Good point. Yep.
You know, it's nickel and diamond us to death. It's not working for most of us. It's working for some of us, but not most of us. And it's time for us to really look at, you know, where we went off track.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Hey, Gary, why don't you tell us a little bit about your show? I know it's coming up on the 27th, so the listeners can kind of get
that. Yeah, you have to call me back and invite me back to do Through the Looking Glass here with Siege, Crystal Gazing with Siege. I'm going to be doing a session for an hour or two on Sunday night, and that's March 27th at 7 p.m. I want to invite everybody to listen in and call in if you can, and we're going to try and do as many little short popcorn crystal ball readings as I can fit into that little hour, hour and a half there.
Mm-hmm. All right, perfect.
That's great.
All right, and your website is shamanwitch.com?
Shamanwitch.com, yep. Come and check me out, and my list of services on there, and my blog, and all sorts of goodies on there, pictures and whatever, so check it out.
All right, Siege. We appreciate you listening to the show, and thank you for contributing with us a little bit.
Absolutely.
And
I like you guys. You're saying good things, and you're practicing them even more, and that's what counts.
Oh,
awesome.
Yes.
Thank you, brother.
Great, brother. Thank you.
Have a good evening, guys.
Right. You too. Blessed be to you. All right, let's take a really quick break,
okay,
and we'll come right back and keep sharing our thoughts and see where we go from here.
All right.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
Welcome back to Within Insights Radio. I'm David Two Crows.
I'm Iggy Gerda.
And together we make up the host team tonight of this show.
Yeah, we are the Wonder Twins.
Most of the time we're the Wonder Triplets, but our other member is not with us tonight, but in spirit. And we've sent our thoughts out to her.
We're all fraternal twins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was nice. We got together this weekend. Had lunch after that church service that we had. So it's nice to get ourselves, to get talk with friends. It's good. I haven't had a group of friends like this. I don't know if ever that I can relate to. And that, you know, we leave each other alone when we want to be left alone, and we come together and we do stuff. And you know, and it's just a perfect balance, I think, of personalities. So. Good. I enjoy it. For me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like Mother Nature is kind of doing her own thing.
Yes.
You know, she's kind of bypassing winter and taking us right into spring.
Mm-hmm.
And looks really good to me.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying that.
It's nice. I got my sandals on. I had my shorts on the other day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is what it is. Nature's just decided to change things up. You know, even in Alaska, where I come from, they had almost no snow when they needed it down in Anchorage for the beginning of the Iditarod. And then they brought in 7 trainloads of snow from Fairbanks.
Wow.
And the next day, it snowed 3 feet. So,
have you noticed that the seasons have changed? They seem like they've altered.
Yeah.
You know, we're kind of going right into spring, but it's like real early.
Mm-hmm.
And then our summer goes in. Our summer ends really fast.
Yeah.
I noticed that last year. Last couple of years, I've noticed that more. And I've really noticed it this year.
Yeah, it seems like we get longer springs and falls now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
the summer is pretty short.
You know, and there's changes in the way the insects are and the migrations of the animals, and just a lot of things are shifting. You know, and could be because of what we do here on Earth could contribute to it, and it could be just part of a natural cycle that happens every 10 or 12,000 years. That, you know, we've been in the middle of a very calm period of time here in the history of the Earth, you know, between ice ages, mm-hmm. and where the environment has been very conducive to having us be pretty stable, you know. So, but that can end at any time, as nature has always that option to call us out and, you know, change things up. So we really should appreciate, first of all, that we've been able to have this period where we've grown so much, but also some respect and some planning and preparation for a time when perhaps things shift and change, and we're not so fortunate. Maybe our government's already done that. Maybe they have these underground bunkers where they can go, but we don't know about it.
So. Well, yeah. I mean, they've been building them.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned a good point. I think it's a combination of the two. I think it's a combination of us kind of jacking it up a little bit, and then it's also a combination of the Earth doing her thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
And just because we deplete and strip and things, you know, it affects her.
Mm-hmm.
The Earth actually gets bigger, as you know, as the molten lava comes out of her, the Earth gets bigger,
expands
outwardly.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and so I could see where it could change, you know, its axis a little bit, and you can move a little bit. And sometimes I wonder if we just move just slightly, you know, they don't really talk about it. They say yes and they say no, but
mm-hmm.
there's a part of me really believes that, you know, something's been tilted off a little bit and we're just off. Just, I mean, we haven't moved 1 degree or 3 degrees anyway, direction either way, but I think we slipped a little bit, you know, kind of like, you know, we rotated a little bit too far one way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think about it, you know, it just feels different. You know, everything feels different. We talked about parallel universes, you know,
yeah.
on our last show a little bit. And sometimes I wonder, you know, are we in a parallel universe because of how the political seems? It's the most, you're always going to see the most obvious things. The big things, the big major things. So those things are the ones that show up.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if you start looking at your own situation, what's really different, what's odd about it. Most of us just go through life and just kind of accept things as they are. You know, I have a job, blah, 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 this and that. But I wonder if there's little things that you just pick up and just notice that you're not the same.
Something a little different, yeah.
For me, something feels very different in my life.
Yeah.
That I can't quite put my finger on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know I'm doing the right things and try to get to places I need to be. But I always feel like something's shifted, that I can't quite see, and I'm not able to, you know, put my eye on it or put my finger on it.
That's something you only sense with your intuition. You know, and
yeah, and it's really odd for me because I'm thinking, I know something's changed, you know, but it's because we're creatures of habit, so we do things, you know, all the time a certain way, even when we don't think about it. But there, I can always feel like there's always these little shifts. You know, when I'm sure I was going to do this, I didn't do it, you know. And if I did do it, it didn't quite turn out the way I thought it was going to turn out, like I used to. If I thought we were going to do something, mm-hmm. it would turn out a certain way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just weird. It's, for me, the subtlety is very subtle.
Yeah. I wonder if anyone else out there has had an experience where you've maybe talked to somebody about something and they go, it didn't happen like that. You know, it's,
mm-hmm.
you must have been somewhere else because it was this way, you know.
Yeah.
It is a strange time. As you said before, the veil is getting thin, so mm-hmm. the other worlds are right at our fingertips. Another reason maybe why I felt the way I did today, or about having one foot in one world and one in another, it's like you're not so connected with everything else that everyone else is all worried about and concerned with. And
do you ever feel like there's something happening that you're doing it, but you're not sure, you're not there? Like something's going on, it's like you're there, but you're not there.
I've had that feeling before.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the feelings I've been having.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing things, but I'm there, but I'm here at the same time. It's
yeah.
really weird. It's, like, really bizarre. So I can't, you know, I can see myself doing certain things, and I'm not there, and it feels like I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's what I'm trying to explain.
Reality's not quite as rigid as it used to be.
Yeah, you know, I used to be pretty sure, you know, but now it's like, did I do that? Did I go there? You know?
Yeah.
You know, I was like, that's weird. And then people say, oh yeah, you were there. I saw you. I'm like, then I'm looking at myself thinking, you know, I have that weird look on my face going, okay, buddy, I was not there. But was I there? You know, were you there? You know, I've had experiences like that. I've had experiences where I've seen people that I thought were there and they weren't really there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been times where I thought you were there and you weren't there. You know, you're like, no, I wasn't there. I'm like, okay. So I don't know.
Doppelgangers, alternate universe people coming in and being in the places that we would have been in if we hadn't made that one choice.
Well, maybe they just overlap.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it overlaps just enough and then we come back, you know, or unlaps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when that super collider, they said they didn't turn it on. I don't believe it.
No. They said that about HARP too, but they've been using that for years.
Mm-hmm.
As always, if we're able to do something, we will do it, whether it's a good idea or not.
So in 1999, when Donald Trump ran the first time, you know, when he threw his hat in the ring, everybody kind of just like, whatever, you know?
Blew it off as a joke.
Yeah, just blew it off as a joke. And then 2016, you know, what's the difference?
I don't know, unless maybe with his age, he seems more like a elder statesman. I laugh saying that. I don't know.
Well, we have to think about the youth, too.
He's tapped into something. He's tapped into this dark undercurrent, I think, of opinion, you know, that people have. Fear about the country changing. We've become a pretty international country when you think about it. I mean, I'm driving along and somebody's windows rolled down on their car and I'm hearing Middle Eastern music, you know, and you know, you go into some neighborhoods and you don't hear English spoken. You hear their native language, whatever, you know. We're an international country, and for people that's scary because they want America the way it was, or at least the way they imagined that it was back when they were growing up, you know, when minorities and people who were different conformed as much as they could to the dominant culture, you know, I guess we could call it the white culture, but the dominant culture of the day, and nobody made much noise about being different or, you know, and although we were, you know, the melting pot, you were expected to pretty much just toe the line and be quiet. But now everyone's out there with their culture and like I say, you know, speaking different languages. And, you know, you got these people who are like, hey, it's America. Speak English, you know. It's English language.
I've had that happen to me.
But most countries in the world are at least bilingual, if not trilingual. And, you know, we should be open to having that, you know. I still don't understand why we're not on the metric system. We should have been on the metric system since 1972.
It's a lot easier to use.
You know, and we would have put us in alignment with the world, but no, we had to have our way and be different and be America, and nobody's going to tell us what to do.
Uh-huh.
And then now we have to convert everything. You know, I don't know, that's a small thing, but the bigger thing is why do we have to have people conform to the way we think is right, when really everyone should be able to decide for themselves within the limits of society, I guess, what is right and what is wrong for themselves and how they should live.
You know, it's I wonder what happened in those 17 years that he ran his first campaign. You know, I really wonder, well, to be think about it, when you think about it, a lot of young people were probably, and some people were born and some people were very young in those, between that age. But that was when, between that time and the time he's at now, he's done a lot. He's done a lot of promoting for shows and branding his name. So everywhere you hear is Trump. You know,
immediately
you're fired.
Yeah.
You know, and then you also have, that's The Apprentice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he was on WWE. You know, and he's fighting McMahon, you know, the owner, the CEO.
He actually was a wrestler on?
Yeah, he was wrestling. He wrestled. He was a
I did not know that.
Yeah. He was. I saw that shit. I saw it. I watched it. And so I'm thinking to myself, okay, why would America be, you know, intrigued with this person? Well, because number one, he's been on TV every day for the last 17 years or plus more. He was on WWE. He was on this show, that show. He just made cameo appearances and some things. And there was a time where America kind of did like Donald Trump. And I'm not saying everybody, but there was a time where America kind of owned him. You know, like, oh, yeah, he's our guy. This is before he wanted to be president.
Yeah.
You know, oh, he's success. You know, oh, yeah, he built houses. Yeah, he was in the real estate. Yeah, oh, he lost
like
businesses. He's like us.
Well or whatever,
he's like us.
Yeah.
You know, he lost. He went bankrupt. So I've gone bankrupt.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
he came back.
He came back. So I was, you know, and it's not because I'm curious. It's more out of curiosity why, you know, there's such an infatuation of him. You know, like any infatuation, it wears off at some point. So I'm not sure when it's going to wear off. Sooner will be better, personally. But there's something that he brings out of other people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all about him. And I get that. Because when you hear him talk, it's all, I'll do this. You know, me, I, you know. But for some people, they need, like you said, they need a leader. Mm-hmm. They need somebody to believe in. Something, a myth. He's like a living myth for some people.
Right.
You know, he's like this demigod of sorts. I don't want to give him that much credit. But, you know, for some people, he is important.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to think about that because my biggest fear is not really Donald Trump. My biggest fear is the people who follow Donald Trump because they could be your next door neighbor. You don't even know it.
Right.
You know, next thing you know, you find yourself like some of these people have found getting punched and hit, you know, by people who are just probably your next door neighbor. You know, yeah. Does he incite riots and stuff? I don't know. I'm sure, you know, some would say yes and some would say no. I'm not here to discuss that, but my concern is the sheep that we are called the sheep.
Right.
You know, they're lashing back, but they're lashing amongst sheep.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? They're not lashing against the institution. They're lashing against other sheep,
mm-hmm.
you know, other followers
right.
of different organizations. Then eventually, you know, what happened in Chicago, you had two groups of sheep that didn't see eye to eye. They're both black sheeps.
Mm.
This is the way I look at it. Donald Trump's group's black sheep. Bernie Sanders' group, black sheep. Because no one wants socialism. Everybody's like, oh, I don't want socialism. You know? So you see these two groups. They kind of clashed of opinions and beliefs. You know? And that didn't happen. I don't want to say it was a good thing or a bad thing. It just happened. It is what it is. It happened. There's not much we can do. That's like me being responsible for something that my kid did. You know, well, you're a kid, punch my kid. Well, I didn't punch your kid. You know, my kid should be responsible for his actions. You know, Donald Trump should be responsible for maybe inciting things, but you can't. But then you have these people who are punching other people on both sides of the fence.
And Bernie Sanders, their responsibility come in?
You know, they should be responsible too. They should be held responsible as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, black, white, Chinese, I don't care who was there. If you throw a punch, you should go to jail and pay your consequences.
Right.
You know, I don't care because you dislike this guy. I mean, I know people are throwing things that are about racism and hate and hatred, but you know what? That's the world we live in. We live with these people. Your next door neighbor could be a KKK guy. Your next door neighbor might be a black guy who's a Black Panther. You know, you might have a Cholo, a Hispanic Mexican guy, you know, who doesn't like white people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
there's always been racism in this country.
These are your neighbors. These are your people. This is your America. This is our America that we're part of. And we also have to know that we can't always integrate with all these people. You know, the myth is that we do talk about what we want on all my relations, but that is my relations. My relations is pissed the freak off.
Yeah.
My relations upset because you know what? They're put in a category that you're a subservient person versus a person who has a lot of money.
Right.
So America is upset.
Yeah.
And the way I'm looking at America is reaching out to the thing that relates to them the most. That's why some people like Bernie. That's why some people like Hillary. That's why some people like Rubio. That's why some people like Cruz. That's why some people, you know, like Trump. At some point, you have to, when Rubio and Cruz drop out and when Hillary drops out, it's going to be Trump and Bernie, in my opinion. I could be wrong. But when those two... I'm wondering what happens at that point. Those disenfranchised groups, how do they break out? What happens? Do they side with one group?
Do the Rubio people go to Trump?
Yeah, who do they go to? You know, do they just not vote, or do they just, like, put their support to Bernie? I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
It makes me wonder how my neighbor's going to vote when there's only two candidates left.
Right.
To be honest, none of these candidates are really good, except, you know, I don't even want to give Bernie Sanders that much credit either. You know, because I think we have better candidates, but they have so much baggage with them.
Yeah.
You know, things that they did in the past that doesn't help them in their cause
right.
to be president.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I mean, I'll come right out and say I'm gonna pick Bernie Sanders just because he aligns the most with the values that I have. But like I've said earlier in the show, do I think he can do everything he says he's gonna do? No, I don't. Mm-hmm. I think that having a force in Washington that at least is promoting those things and trying to bring something like that around is good, at least for me. But it's America. You know, I mean, we should be all about other opinions and compromise. But I'm going to reduce it down a little bit simpler than you were talking about. Even is. Let's take it to the schoolyard. You know, you've got the schoolyard bully, and you've got the toadies who kind of hang around with him because it's safer to be the bully's friend than the bully's target, you know. And you can always root for that bully because he's powerful. You know, you can feel empowered through him, and, you know, he's not going to take any garbage from anybody, and you kind of get some empowerment by proxy through that. So maybe that's what some of these people are feeling, is like, you know, we're sticking with the guy who's, you know, he calls it what it is, you know, and he's pointing out these wrongs, and he's making sure that people understand that we're not going to take it anymore. And, you know, we're not going to take any more of these illegal immigrants, and we're not going to take any more of this erosion of our value system from foreign, you know, points of view and everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they side with him because, you know, they see him as a force that's going to just kind of stomp on all this and take us back to that mythical land of America, when America was great, you know, when black people knew their place, and when, you know, women knew their place, and when, you know, white men were powerful and proud and running all the, you know, it's bullshit. At the same time, it's a sellable myth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where he's getting his power from. And you know, it's those.
Now, why would people buy into that?
I
mean, they know better than that. They got it. But you made a good point, though. I like your point about the schoolyard bully.
Mm-hmm.
It's better aligning yourself with a schoolyard bully because at least you have protection of some sort.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're not out on an island by yourself, and you don't want to be the one to get smacked down by the bully.
Yeah.
And there's not enough people in the group to take on the bully.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's kind of weird. And I'm most likely going to vote for Bernie Sanders too.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to the debate yesterday, and there were some good things that I liked about what he had to say.
Yeah.
There's some things I'm going, well, good luck.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if that's going to work out. I mean, I hope it does, because that would be great for everybody. But, you know, people forget about the congressional seats and the senatorial seats.
Right.
You know, they're just as important, if not more important,
mm-hmm.
you know, than just rolling forwarding for president.
Unless you're going to do everything by executive order, and you can only do so much there, I hope, anyway. I don't think we have built it so that the president can be his own autonomous.
Well, I think with like Obama, for example, when he passed his bill, you know, the Affordable Care Act, I believe that was kind of, he may cut some deals with people.
Yeah.
When obviously you had to cut some kind of deal with somebody. Now the question is, what kind of deals did you cut?
Right.
Unless you go and do the research and check the writers and the things that pass through the House bills and all the things, you really don't know.
And for me, I mean, it's not really affordable. I still have to pay as much as I would have paid if I'm employed by somebody else, even though I don't feel like I'm rich.
But you should be. It should be affordable. Affordable. Yeah. Affordable means that, you know, if you're making $30,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your insurance once a month should at least be, what, $100?
Yeah.
Not $400 or $300.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Six.
I mean, how often do people really get sick? You know, you're gambling. When you have insurance, you're really gambling against your own self.
Right.
You know, am I going to get sick or not going to get sick? And if I don't get sick, I'm good. I don't use it. But if I get sick, I'm covered.
But if I don't get sick, then I've paid all this money for nothing, basically. But I don't know. That's the way it is with insurance. It's just, it's there if you...
It used to be illegal in this country, remember?
What, to...
To have insurance, to sell insurance to people.
Oh, no.
And it was an illegal transaction. You couldn't do it. The mafia.
It was like protection money or something.
Yeah, you know, eventually, you know what? The mafia got out of one business and went to another.
Maybe.
Everyone's like, where's the mafia at? Well, just Go look at the Nationwide. Look at the buildings they build.
Uh-huh.
Look at the stadiums they have.
Right.
You know, look at these guys. Look how much they get paid
mm-hmm.
from your backs.
Mm-hmm.
The CEO makes like, what, $5 million? No, $22 million. I'm sorry, $22 million a year.
Wow. Yeah.
And who's paying for that?
Well, the people who buy the insurance.
People buy insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they don't like paying. They don't like paying claims because what happens is if they pay a claim, then it's money out of their pocket.
Cuts into their bottom line.
Yeah, cuts in.
Excuse me.
You know, so, you know, I've had people ask, so what happened to the mafia? Well, look on down the street.
Yep. They just went in. They went legit.
They went legit. White mm-hmm. collar, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or bankers or, you know, any other of the industries in this country that, you know, that can't fail. Too big to fail.
Yeah. My favorite gift today, the little things where you have little pictures that just kind of repeat
yeah.
move, is one of Donald Trump talking. And then, you know, the guy jumped over the fence and startled him.
In Dayton, yeah.
Yeah. Well, someone made one with Bernie Sanders coming up on a, sitting on a chair, and he kind of like makes him.
I saw that, yeah.
I was just laughing my butt off on that. That was hilarious.
I know.
He's like, boom. Donald Trump's like, ooh.
This is for nothing else. It's been a very interesting political season for jokes and for, you know, just kind of watching the carnival.
It is a carnival. And I said that from day one.
Yeah.
Excuse me. That it was going to be a carnival. It was going
to
be a show.
In America, I mean, you go even back to Abraham Lincoln's day. It's always kind of been a show. It's always been a kind of a, you know, character, picking on someone's character in political cartoons and like that. So it's part of the tradition, but it just seems like at the same time that it's with, you get those, like the Republican debates, all these people, they're just throwing insults back and forth and trying to be like Trump and, you know,
that was their downfall.
You know, so along the way, someone's got to demonstrate the capacity for leadership, the capacity for, you know, diplomacy, the capacity for compromise, the capacity for listening, you know, because there could be a world leader, and not only a world leader, but a world leader of what is now a very powerful country around the world. You know, if we're going to be taken seriously, if we're going to be thought of as not a rogue cop, you know, on the beat, but somebody that people can trust and will protect them, then we've got to have a leader that is going to reflect that and be able to stand with people and not just bully them down to nothing or somebody is going to fire a shot. And North Korea is the most likely suspect in my mind to fire that shot.
Yeah, and you know,
it's another wacko out there running that country.
And they're probably going, you know what, can you just favor fire a couple of missiles so we can have something to talk about?
That's right. You know, those military arms we haven't done anything with.
You know, this might sound paranoid, but, you know, I wouldn't doubt if we even told them to do something and we're going to cause a problem.
Yeah.
Piss off Russia.
Right.
You know,
China's waiting in the wings.
It's
like, okay.
It's such child's play.
Yeah.
You know, it's such child's play. And, you know, it's kind of like you poke the bear enough, the bear's going to, like, pretty much, just like a dog, too. If you poke him enough, he's going to bite you.
Yep.
And so, but somehow people are different than bears and dogs. We can make agreements. Hey, why don't you throw some missiles out? We want to cause this. You know, we'll throw you some money.
Yeah.
So you don't.
Yeah.
People won't starve.
Right. Right.
If I'm thinking it, my God, you know.
Uh-huh.
I have a great imagination, you know, about things like that. But you know, so who's to say these guys aren't playing this big mind f on us?
Yeah.
You know, making us all worried and paranoid.
Mm-hmm. Do you know that China built an artificial island in
yeah.
the middle?
Mm-hmm.
You've heard about that,
mm-hmm.
and they've militarized it, and
yep.
it's. You know, so they're putting their chess piece out on the board now. Like, okay, what are you going to do about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a game.
Yeah, it is. And it's you and I, the common people, and the people listening to the show, we're the ones who, you know, bear the burden of that. You know, we're the pawns in the game. Basically,
yeah.
we're supplying them with the money. We're giving
mm-hmm.
them support. We're, you know, we're working every day. We're not, you know, we're not busting out and marching on Washington, D.C. by the millions, which... We should. This is kind of a suggestion, but hey, stuff for later. But we, you know, we're the silent majority that supports all this garbage, you know, and we do it in the name of patriotism, or, you know, because we want to be safe, you know, we want to feel like, you know, we're protected, or at least our values are being represented around the world, where there's other values in the world too, you know, and when those get stepped out because we're going over there and just planting our flag and, you know, waving our guns around, you know, it's a sad statement about who we are as human beings, because we should be treating each other a lot differently.
I think human beings are team oriented, like my team, your team, you know, your team's
my
no
clan,
good, my team, my
pride,
team, yeah.
My pride.
You know, because a good example is our scenario here in the United States. I'm a Republican, I'm Democrat, I'm green, or, you know, whatever. I'm some kind of party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the reason I say that is I can look at my own household. My in-laws are the Republicans. I can't say they're stout, you know, stuck to it, because when I ran for office, they all went Democrat for that year. But
loyal family first, politics
family
second.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, a lot of people are really, no, I'm GOP. That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a GOP.
Right.
Or I'm Democrat, and that's it, you know. There's no flexibility whatsoever. You know, there's no flexibility, you know. I mean, to even just think outside the box.
Yeah.
And I think that's what causes problems, and that's everywhere. Not just here, it's everywhere, and all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have issues, you know. You have the Shiites and the Sunnis, they freaking fight each other. But when it comes to fight us, I'm sure they're all
together. Yeah.
But, you know, then you have all other kinds of factions around the world.
Everyone's fighting for their little piece of turf, and their little, you know, moment in the sun, and, you know, their plan for the world or whatever. And, yeah, you're right. It's very much team-oriented, you know, and that is competition. I mean
go outside your house. I mean, rarely you could go talk to your neighbor. Rarely you can go knock on his door and say, hey, or her door and say, hey, what's going on? I'm your neighbor. And they'd be like, okay. And your point is?
Well, I'm the exception to that, but I've never done that to my neighbors.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
There are places, I'm just saying,
yeah.
A majority of the time you can't.
Yeah.
My neighbors are pretty chill. They talk to me, but there's always that hesitation, you know, like,
what do you want?
You know, why are you so friendly, you know?
Yeah. Let my guard down.
Well, you want me to cut your grass when you're not home you're on vacation? No, I don't know. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, it's kind of.
Yeah. We're suspicious.
Very suspicious. We're very paranoid in some direction, you know, or another. But, you know, I'm lucky right now that I have like three around me. But I really don't know anybody further than that. You know, there used to be a time where you knew everybody on your block.
Right.
And you knew something about them, they knew something about you. Or
kids played together, mm-hmm. or, you know, yeah.
Now I can't walk down the street. I can't tell you one person's name on my street.
Yeah.
You know, we wave when we see each other when we're driving, or they're walking their dog. And, you know, people are walking their dog, and they won't even look at you.
Right.
If you're, like, standing there, maybe it's the long hair. Or they poop in your yard, then they pick it up, and they don't look at you, you know.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
dog does. But, you know, it's – I guess that makes a lot of sense why we have the things that happen, the things we have in our country right now. Why we have the issues we have.
Yeah, because we're all kind of living behind a wall of sorts.
It is a wall. We all do.
Yeah.
Some are better at it than others. Mm-hmm. And some of us don't choose to live behind walls, but – you know,
walls keep us safe, but they also make us prisoners.
Yeah. Well, we also have to have a sense of you know, protection of sorts, because not everybody's nice.
Yeah.
You know, we would hope that everybody would respect other people's biz, but nah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not true. It's not real.
Right. Right.
In my world, I want everybody to be nice and get along and do well, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's another guy who's just a big turd and just doesn't want that.
That's true.
He has his goals in life.
And where did that come from with him? I kind of wonder how much of the way we see ourselves in our country is real and how much is manufactured, you know? I've thought before, are we really that racist of a country, or are we racist because we're told we're racist?
That's a good question.
You know, because the examples that are always shown to us are racist, you know? But I know other times when, you know, I work in a building that's majority of black people, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I don't feel like they're racist against me. I'm certainly not racist against them. We're just human beings on that level, you know.
What raises that fear factor in people when they see a certain minority group or minority group feels, you know, something against towards, you know, another group of people.
Yeah. I can almost in my own head, whenever I'm in the store or something and I'm waited on or checked out by somebody with a burqa or, you know, who's obviously a Muslim, there's that little voice in my head goes, oh, there's a Muslim. Watch out, you know, because it's conditioned in me. You know, it's not that I'm prejudiced against them. Far from it. It's just that there's the voice from the media, from what you've been taught, you know, and whatever over the, you know, and or, you know, if I was walking in a certain neighborhood and there was just suddenly all black people and I'm walking down the street, you know, they might feel the same way in a white neighborhood, you know, and because we're all kind of told to watch out for the other people.
I can see that. I can see where, you know, a lot of it's heritage too. A lot of it's, you know, we this happened to us.
Yeah.
This is what went on. We have to stick together, you know. Hispanics are really – the Hispanic culture is really different than a lot of the other cultures because we're all bound by a common language. But we're not all necessarily that.
Right. We're not Dominican Republic,
Dominican,
people,
Mexican, Peruvian,
Spanish.
You know, we're all very individual into our own rights as those people and those indigenous people to those regions. We are who we say we are. You know, if we're Peruvian, we're Peruvian. We're not Chilean. We're not this or that.
Yeah. But you could be seen as part of a group.
Yes,
umbrella,
we get grouped.
Of
Yeah. That's why a lot of people, you know, get upset with labeling. Because, you know, on the applications of any kind, are you Hispanic, Latino, you know, Native American, other, Caucasian, you know? And that's all for census, and that's all for, you know, categorizing and figuring out how many things they have to give. You know, that's all. I know why they do it. But that's why we have problems. That's why we have issues, because we create these fictitious stories about people. You know,
right.
Oh yeah, all Mexicans are bad.
Right.
Not everybody thinks that, but there are people who I know people who don't like Mexicans. Some of them are Mexicans. You know.
Yeah.
I hate to say that, but you know, oh no, those guys are bad. But they're Mexican. Oh no, but they're from another part of Mexico.
Right.
You see, it even goes that deep. So that's what America doesn't know sometimes. But we do that here too.
Yeah.
Oh, no, from the South.
Right.
They're rebels. They lost the war.
Yeah.
But yeah, they still fly their flag.
Right.
No?
Or, you know, they're from the North. They're Yankees. Mm-hmm.
Yankees.
You know,
those are the stories we hang on to. Those are the stories we cling to. In Peru, you know, Peruvians and Chileans are not very good friends. As much as you like. But when they come here, they kind of get along. But when they go back, it's, I don't know, just it's weird, man. It's really strange.
Yeah.
It's really strange to experience that. Traveling to a place and then coming back here and then seeing the world. You know, I love America. I really enjoy it. Here, I would rather be here than Peru. Peru has its issues, and so does America, but I can maneuver through the issues here quicker and better.
Right.
You know, here, if I wanted to go to my Social Security office and get a new card, it'd probably take me, 15, 20 minutes maybe. Try to do all the paperwork. In Peru, I could stand there all day.
Yeah.
You know, in line just to get my DNA card, you know? And then if I don't have one piece of paper, you don't get to cut the line.
Yep. You come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
it's bureaucracy.
It's just bureaucracy. Yes, it's red tape.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I always found that, you know, people, I don't even want to use the word racist, but I think people just have I don't even know what word to use, man. But people sometimes have this weird feeling about other people.
Yeah.
Because it's probably because they have it about themselves at some level. And I still think it's the stories they bought into. Oh, grandma and grandpa don't like those kind of people. So mom and dad don't like those kind of people.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but at least you're trying to break the cycle. Oh, come on, mom, grandpa. But as soon as something happens to somebody, everybody's on the bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. He screwed me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. We don't like Italians, or we don't like...
Mm-hmm.
You know, Irish people or whatever.
And every generation has their group.
Mm-hmm.
Just think when the Cubans were defecting over here from Cuba, did we process them? Like, are we treating them like we treat people who are coming from Syria and those areas?
Mm-hmm.
No, we welcomed them all in. How many of those guys were communists?
Yeah.
You know, we were fighting communism back then, remember?
Right.
We still kind of are, but not the same way we do. You know, the one time we had people come on boats and stuff.
Wasn't there somebody who said that they're sending all their prisoners over here now? And all their...
Well, that's what they said, too. They sent they let go all their criminals and sent them here.
Yeah.
Kind of like, but that's our story, too.
Yeah.
America's story is, you know, England sent all their unwanted and undeserving
right?
Here as well.
Yeah.
So our story is their story. Our story is their story.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, and the Native Americans. I mean, before we came over, they were fighting among themselves. They were looking down on their different tribes, and you know, there's it's just a human nature. You know,
my opinion, David, is that the group that's here doesn't want to be replaced by the group that's coming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's my understanding of what it is.
So if some other more dominant culture came to take us off of America, we'd go, no, this is our land.
You wouldn't even have to fight them. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you have enough here and they breed over time, they'll outbreed you anyhow.
That's true.
You know, you don't even have to fight.
You don't have to fire a bullet. Fight. Just conquer them by
you can conquer them by
interbreeding.
Interbreeding and breeding.
Mm-hmm. Before you know it, you've become the face of the person that you were afraid of.
Well, that's what's going on in Europe. Europe has a big pandemic right now. They're scared.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Europeans are really scared.
From the refugees?
The refugees, everything. The influx of all these different cultures that are coming into them, you know? I mean, they embrace them. I understand they do. But a lot of people, you know, there's people I talk to who don't like it, and there's people who don't care.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you have enough people coming into one area, you know, the people who were there before no longer are the people anymore.
The culture changes.
The culture changes very rapidly.
So you start to see mosques in Belgium. And
yeah, but I'm not even talking about them. You know, when the Moors came in too, you know, for example, in Spain, you know, when they went into Spain and they were conquering all those lands.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you had a lot of influx of, you know, dark colored people.
Mm-hmm.
And they bred with the Hispanics at them, the Spanish, you mm-hmm. know. And eventually they got pushed out and, you know, vice versa. You know, was it you that asked me about Genghis Khan, for example, if he would have made it, you know, when he would conquer lands, they would actually burn their ships down. So their goal was that they weren't going to return home, that they were going to go there and they were going to make it that place.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that place was going to be what it was. You know, then we'd be the Mongols and that's it. And so we're like, well, what about them? Sometimes they killed everybody and sometimes they didn't.
Yeah.
Didn't the Roman Empire want to do that too, right?
Right. Roman Empire would. I remember one particular case where they destroyed a city and they salted the land. They took everything from mm-hmm. that place, so just nothing could grow, nothing would exist. They wiped it out completely because they opposed them. Yeah. You know.
And what was their downfall?
Their downfall was corruption. Was that they got overextended and they lost touch with what they were all about. You know.
That's right.
And then the Vandals came in, and the Goths came in, and the Visigoths, mm-hmm. and it was like that.
So when you look at American history, mm-hmm. it's kind of doing the same thing.
Right.
I'm not saying we have to be exclusive. I just have to say we just need to be more aware of history. Eventually, like you said, Rome was just couldn't handle it all.
Yeah.
It's just too big.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, all the little departments and everything broke away.
Yep.
You know, and then next thing you know, you're not who you are.
Starts all over again. Somebody mm-hmm. else is on top, you know.
I'm talking about 500 years.
It's their story.
1,000 years, you know, 500 to 1,000 years, depending how you look at it.
Mm-hmm. You know, here's the funny thing, though. We're still trying to recreate the Roman Empire. You know, even though it failed, it's like, that was our granddad. We got to try to keep, maybe we can do it right this time. Maybe we can, you know. I don't know. The model is broken. If the model's broken, then whatever you build on it is going to be broken too. So
it's because it takes a radical change to create a new model.
Yeah.
And everybody has, either you impose your will on them or everybody has to agree on it.
Yeah.
So far we haven't agreed to it. So the old model works.
Right.
And so something completely changes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking a little bit about whether we can change like that, whether this iteration or this version of humanity, Homo sapiens 2.0 or whatever, has what it takes to make that change and really come from a place of all of this competition and all of this tribalism and all of this, you know, wanting to conquer by the sword and the bullet and the bomb and, you know, by oppression, to a place where we can love and support one another no matter what, you know, and come to the common humanity of just being here. And there's so much more we could do, but can we overcome the programming? Can we overcome the we almost have like a built-in flaw that keeps popping up every once in a while when we go too far about power and corrupting. And
yes,
can we make it work? I don't know. Time will tell. History will tell. But we're going to have a lot of work to do to get to that point. It's not going to come easy for us because it's not our basic nature. We're going to have to overcome our basic nature, or just wait till the next iteration of human beings comes up, the next version, 3.0.
Well, that's what happens, right?
Yeah.
We always get new generations that come in. After empires have crumbled and fall, somebody has to step up to the plate and change something.
It's going to have to be ones that don't look back and go, you know, that was pretty good. We could do that again, you know. It's going to have to be people who go, you know what, none of that worked. It was all crap. So here we're going to start over again, and we're going to try to lay down the groundwork for something that actually works instead of, you know, having a king or a queen or an emperor or a president or, you know, a tribal chief or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all going to try to pull this together. That means that Mr. President is down there checking out groceries mm-hmm. with everybody. You know, yeah. I don't know. It's just, it's going to have to look a lot different than it does today, because hierarchical power systems have almost that built-in temptation to overreach power, you know, and that's like I was talking about, our built-in flaw that pops up. So I don't know. We do our work, we plant our seeds, we mm-hmm. keep hope alive, and we move forward. And if I ever see it, I don't know. If I don't,
there'll be several generations before
I'll
anything.
Have to keep living it, you know. And I really do have a feeling it's going to take a long, hard fall for us to realize what's important. They make a point over and over again that we make a change when we're on the brink of destruction. You know, we either choose to survive or we destroy ourselves. So we're coming up to that point. You know what? Mm-hmm. And I'm not the only one who saw to this, and we've talked about this before, is the fact that within my lifetime, the world population has gone from like 2.8 billion, now it's 7 billion plus, and it's going to be over 10 billion within my lifetime.
Wow.
10 billion people within one human lifetime. That's amazing. And that's going to mean we're either going to have to work together and cooperate and make this world a better place for everybody, or there's going to have to be some huge, massive human die-off, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I don't know. That's crazy. Didn't you think about that?
Right.
Wow.
You know, and I'm not the only one who thought about this, so I hope it's the former and not the latter, but I don't know. I don't want to be doom and gloom.
Yeah. No, but it's not doom and gloom. You think about it, it's not doom and gloom. It's a real fact.
Mm-hmm.
It's reality.
Yeah.
It's something that's very present, you know, mm-hmm. so it's not doom and gloom. It's something to really think about.
Yeah.
You know, if there was an asteroid coming to hit our planet, you know, we know that the chances that a lot of people will probably die if it doesn't destroy the planet.
Volcano.
Sure.
You know? These things can happen. But outside of that, you know, the fact that we just have to realize, you know what, I can't have 12 kids. Even though, you know, I want 12 kids, or we make heroes out of these people on our TV shows, for instance, Octomom, you know, who mm-hmm. has 8 children, you know, that's because it's kind of weird. It's a celebrity thing, but.
Or the Duggars, 19 and counting.
Yeah. It's irresponsible. It's irresponsible because you're putting a burden on the rest of the world, you know, and until it becomes seen like that, I think it's going to be hard.
And then when you find out they're just like us. Duggar brother does some really bad things to his family and to his wife.
Right.
You know, you can't glorify that kind of stuff anymore.
Nope.
They're just people.
Right. We have to be our own heroes.
The Kardashians are just people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just are lucky enough to sell stuff.
Yeah, and we can't be spectators anymore. We have a spectator mentality. I'm just going to sit on the couch, we eat popcorn, and watch the show. You know, look at all these freaky people out there doing this stuff.
And you're the freakiest person sitting there eating popcorn.
Yeah, you know? we like to watch football games, but how many of us would, you know, are active and get out there and do something every day? It's just, I don't know. That's a whole other stick, but I think the spectator mentality we have of watching we go to the polls, we elect a leader, and then we watch him and we complain mm-hmm. about him, but we don't do anything about it till the next time comes around. Then we get all excited and we elect another leader and we watch him and we, you know, complain about him, and it becomes just a repetition of the same thing over and over again.
I think it's just enough. You know, we get just enough to satisfy us. The majority of the population, not everybody, but there's enough to satisfy the population that they're like, okay, well, this is fine.
Yeah,
I'll
take
it.
With this.
Yeah, I can live with this guy.
Yeah, it's all
you
right.
You know, it's
as long as my stash is okay, I'm cool.
That's the thing. As long as my stash is, I'm okay.
Yeah. But you know what? It's not okay because mm-hmm. the world is growing smaller and things that that happen over in Asia affect us and vice versa, you know, and we are our brother's keeper when it comes down to it. You mm-hmm. know, we are responsible for how other people live and what they do. You know, I don't want to sound like, you know, I'm some idealistic person, but I am. You know, I am. I feel like we should be caring for one another. And there's more than enough resources in this world to solve the problems. It's channeling them as to where they need to go. And we need to be the ones telling our leaders where they need to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know? There's so much that gets thrown away in this country. As a matter of fact, on this the same show I was talking about earlier about the cities, there are people in other countries, they live in the garbage dump.
Huh.
They scavenge every day. When that truck comes in, they grab what they can. They sell some of it. Some of it's food that they eat. They feed to their children. They are scavengers in the garbage dump of their country, you know, and that's
wow.
their life. That's waking moment, sleeping moment. That's how they live. And just put yourself in their shoes, you know. How would that work for you? You know, that's how they live, but that's how they have to live because we cast off so much and we hoard so much and keep so much from coming to their hands that the garbage dump looks pretty good.
It happens here.
Yeah.
It happens here more than you think. I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people scavenge the garbage. I've seen people collect aluminum cans out of the garbage, you know?
Right.
For scraps, things that are just thrown away by other people. Sometimes it's someone else's treasure.
Exactly.
So
I don't know what that leaves us with, but
it leaves us with ideas to maybe be able to change our world to something that would fit the mold that you're talking about. Even though it would probably just be in our world.
Yeah.
But it starts with one person. It starts with one person to say, well, you know, I'm going to be different. I want to see things different. And then, you know, there's two people doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's three people, then four people, five people, six people, and on and on and on. And next thing, it just starts to grow.
Yeah, that's the way.
That's how ideas grow.
Happens.
You know, that's how things are sold. That's how things are bought. It's just, we're very emotional beings. We're very connected. And we're really, you know, when we believe something, we believe it. And when we don't believe it, we don't. You know, it becomes part of our core. And as easy as it was a core, we can also remove it
right.
for a lot of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can be, we're fickle. We're a very fickle race. You know, there's some things that we keep pretty close to our heart, but, you know, we're fickle about certain things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have to see that it's going to work for us in our best interests.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're motivated by whatever works in our best interests. So, when we see that living together and caring for one another and supporting and reaching for the best in us
mm-hmm.
is for the best of us, then we'll do it, you know.
Right.
But it has to affect us personally. I guess that's just because we are kind of in our own little worlds when we walk around. We can't care about everybody 24/7 because our focus is on our life and our people and our lives and our keeping things going from one day to another. But
it's hard enough just to take care of ourselves anymore.
It is. It is. But it becomes apparent that what happens to other people affects us, you know.
Absolutely.
When you know, there's oppression going on overseas for the people to make up the shoes that we wear, you
mm-hmm.
know, and that we wake up to that. Then we've got to decide, you know, is it worth more for us to get a cheap pair of shoes or to assure human dignity for those people over there? You know, that's what's there, you know. And that's the challenge before all of us. And as we enter into this political season and here in America, we decide who's going to be leading the country, supposedly. those are questions we have to ask ourselves, too, is where do we want to come down on the side of that? You know, do we want to come down as self-interested and just whatever works for me and I don't care about you? Or are we going to try to make this a more equitable society for everybody and bring out some of these problems and these issues we don't want to talk about, but also talk about some solutions? I don't know. I'm no politician. You know, I'm a spiritual revolutionary, not a political one.
I like that.
But they overlap, you know. If we don't have an atmosphere of freedom in our country to practice the things we want to do and to speak out on the things we want to speak out on, then our spiritual life suffers too. So anyway.
David Two Crows for president.
No, I wouldn't last a week. I'm going to expose all this stuff. No, you're not.
Sure. Here's this camera right there.
Yeah.
They put you on a fake camera.
Yeah.
And you're talking blah, blah, blah. Why didn't anybody change? They didn't believe you, Mr. President.
Oh, well, there you go.
Oh, God. They didn't believe me, but I told the truth.
I tried to. They don't want the truth. They want to be told what they want to hear.
I wouldn't believe they would do that. They put a bomb in our room and they're filming him. They think he thinks he's telling the world something that's real.
It's just going dead air.
Yeah, just dead air. And then he watches the news. He's like, well, nothing happened. No, Mr. President, nothing happened. I'm sorry. Just,
yeah.
You know, the American people aren't getting ready. You know, they just don't want it, you know.
Your intentions are good, but.
God, that would be such a good movie, wouldn't it? Make a movie like that.
Yep.
The President Who Cared.
Didn't they have like Dave? I think there was a president named a movie called Dave, where the president dies, but he's got a person who looks just like him, so they put him in there.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's interesting.
All right, folks, there you have it.
Mm-hmm.
We probably won't talk about politics after this.
We solved the world problems now, so we'll move on to another subject next time.
So tomorrow, go out and make a difference in your own life. You know. But with your conscience.
Right. And remember, even if you choose not to decide, you have made a choice.
That's right. Absolutely. We will not judge you.
No. There's no judging.
Or parent you.
Mm-hmm. You are your own person.
Just do what you got to do. Feel what you got to feel.
That's right.
Make a difference in your little sphere of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that little sphere grows and grows outwardly.
Right.
And we want to thank you for being on our show tonight and listening. And David, thanks for being on with me.
Oh, as always, it's been my pleasure and honor.
And we missed Adriana, but, you know, she has some things she had to take care of.
She usually keeps us a little more softer.
Yeah. She growls at us when we're a little off.
Yeah.
But, so tomorrow we have Brian Wilkes. He'll be on at 9 a.m.
9 a.m., okay.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Spontaneous Spirit Talk and then the Naked Shaman. And then we have Mato at Midnight. And we start all over again on Monday.
Yep, we have Gary's show.
Gary's show on the 27th.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. At 7.
Very good things happening here, folks, and you're part of it.
So we want to thank you for tuning in, and we will see everybody soon. Much love, peace, ho'oponopono.
Good day, peace and love.
All right, be well.